Welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Capital City Cavaliers. I'm your host, Tony Hawley. I'm sitting here with Kyle McAravio of the News Tribune, and before Kyle and I start to discuss things this week, let's listen to a little bit of Kyle's conversation with Cavaliers head coach Joe Collier.
We've had a couple extra days to look back on the win from Friday night, so did anything new kind of jump out at you?
No, just happy that, everything, it seemed like we were paying attention to detail. I enjoyed watching film of our DBs this week. Just them, I heard them calling out coverages and what they were doing and communicating. But to see them, it actually looked like the coverage they were calling this week was good. And that team was, they were trying to get the ball downfield, and everybody was pretty much covered, and guys was getting to their drops, so that was especially good to see. And then watching the film, our offensive line was, that was a big D line. They had big linemen, and our guys were, really getting up underneath them, driving their feet, and so that was good to see.
You guys have rebounded from the three-game losing streak with back-to-back running clock wins, so what's been the key to not just, coming out and getting a win, but to dominate the way you have the past two games?
And no excuses, but we're healthy now. I think that, we got a little banged up after that Rockbridge game, and then it kind of went from there. We just had guys out and it wore on their body. So just having two games where guys don't have to play the whole game and just really getting treatment and things of that nature, and getting the ice tubs out, really helped on their bodies. And we're just a little bit more healthier. And that's what I think last game was, we seen guys just healthy.
One game left before district play gets started. What are you kind of looking for this week that would tell you that, the guys are where they need to be as you get ready to move into the playoffs?
We had a great practice yesterday. And like I said, we got guys that are back and they're back healthy. Guys that are, they're not healthy, they're pretty much on the mend right now, so we're pretty much back to full strength as it pertains to player, and then they're moving a little better. So if guys, they're not, their ankle is not so tweaked and things of that nature, so they're moving around a little bit more quicker, and it just looks good. And paying attention to detail, probably not in pain no more, so it just looked more crisp.
And then bit of a drive up to Kirksville this week. Mm-hmm. So just what's going to be the key to coming out with a win once again?
The key is just, finish up practice. Make sure we're getting, coached up on everything we need to get coached up on. That team is, they RPO. So we need to pay special attention to every detail that is involved in, understanding what they do on offense and defense.
All right, that was Cavaliers head coach Joe Collier. And Kyle, we kind of thought that last week's game against Truman was going to be a fairly decisive victory. It ended up being that by a 49-7 margin. So, and I guess you just have to say it was the Jalen Thomas show. So tell us more about it.
Yeah, so we talked a little bit about it after the Sedalia game. Jalen went into halftime of that one with over 200 yards and kind of came out looking like maybe wanted to go for 300. I think he ended up with 242 in Sedalia. Once again, went into halftime above 200 and this time got to 294.
Okay.
Ran out of time because of the running clock. Capital City had one more offensive drive but ended up fumbling with some of the backups, and so he didn't get the opportunity to get those six more yards. I think 300... At least the way it seems on the sideline, 300 is an important number for him.
Sure.
A cool achievement to reach.
Right.
But I think, more importantly with those two performances, I think something like 570 over the last two games and seven touchdowns, it pushes him past his totals from last season in two fewer games.
Okay.
And last season he was, the standout freshman all-district player.
Right.
I mean, he... an incredibly impressive kid, and to pass 1,500 yards, and I think he's at 23 touchdowns now as a sophomore.
Sure.
Just, I mean, incredible to watch in person.
Yeah.
And he just seems to continue to keep getting better. And all that, you know, with the three-game stretch during the Capital City losing streak where he was a little dinged up, but numbers-wise, the worst stretch of his career.
Yeah.
And still able to rebound from that this way and surpass his numbers from last year with that stretch in the middle of it. I mean, it's fantastic.
It's an odd game from the standpoint of, obviously, he had a pretty heavy workload. He got to play a lot. But it was also an easy enough win that it sounds like the Cavaliers got a chance to maybe rest some guys or pull some guys a little bit earlier, which is always going to be key coming down the stretch, as you want to have your health at maximum, you know, potential as you're heading into postseason play.
Especially with how dinged up Capital City has been for the last 5 weeks, 6 weeks now.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it was, you got a little extra bonus with senior night last week where Philip Richardson was back. We kind of weren't expecting him back until this week. So I think he took like 5 or 6 carries. It wasn't a big workload, but he got to come back, play in the senior night game. Nehemiah Hamilton got to, you know, he's been dinged up, but been playing kind of in and out, a little lighter workload. Again, another, you know, 6 or 7 carries, but still got to, you know, celebrate senior night. And then, yeah, they were up big enough to get those guys out, to let Marquez Golladay only play one way instead of, you know, two ways like he had been before his injury. I think that's kind of the hope again this week, is another situation of like, yeah, let these guys maybe play another half and then be ready to go for districts. Because that was something I talked about with Coach Collier, you know, what's been the key to, after a 3-game losing streak to turbo clocking 2 consecutive opponents. They just said, well, we're getting healthy.
Okay.
You know, that's the biggest thing, is all, you know, the guys are back out there who you expect to be out there, and they're doing what, you know, what we saw the first few weeks of the season when they were all healthy.
Sure. So that puts the Cavaliers at 5-3 on the season, and kind of, like say, get refocused for the final, you know, non-conference regular season game that will end this schedule. And so you look at it and go, okay, it's a Kirksville team that they'll be traveling to Kirksville tonight, 7 o'clock start.
Yeah, I'm excited for that drive.
It's not a bad drive, trust me. As someone who made it many, many times in my lifetime, it's gotten easier and easier over the years, so it's not as bad as it could be. So it's a Kirksville team that comes in at 4-4, and you kind of look at them and go, okay, I'm not sure what to expect from these guys, because if you look at it, the 4 wins are kind of who you expected with them to be, and the 4 losses are kind of who you expected them to lose to. So they've beaten, you know, Macon, Marshall, Mexico, Fulton, and they've lost to Chillicothe, Savannah, Moberly, and Hannibal. And you go, yeah, if I had just looked at the schedule before the year started, or even now, and didn't know a thing about any of them, I'd go, they could probably win those 4 games, and they're probably going to lose 4 of those 4 games. So what kind of a test does this pose then for the Cavaliers tonight when you look at a team and go, I don't know, they're kind of doing what you might think they might do in any typical season?
I mean, I think for Capital City, you're hoping you're one of those teams where by this point, when you're looking at that schedule coming in, you're saying, well, that's the 5th loss.
Right.
Right. I mean, those 4 wins are against 2-6 teams and 2-0-8 teams.
Okay.
So, like you're saying, those losses are also against very good teams.
Sure.
But, you know, that's not a lot of success even in those games where you're expecting to win. The 2 wins against winless opponents are both, you know, 40-point shutouts, which, fantastic. That's great. That's what you should do against those teams. But outside of those 2, Kirksville's averaging about 14 points a game offensively.
Right.
You know, it's just in those games where they're facing off against the higher quality of opponents on their schedule, they're really struggling.
Right. And I guess if you're going to say something for them, they are coming in on a 2-game winning streak. So,
and they've maybe only given up 20 points combined the last 2 weeks.
Right. So maybe it's on an upswing for them. You don't know. But I just got to feel like if the Cavaliers can come out tonight and do what the Cavaliers want to do, then it's probably going to be a game where you go, this is going to be a W, and a pretty easy W by the time it's all over and done with.
And it was a pretty big one last year. I think it was like 64-21, something like that.
Okay.
I mean, it was the biggest offensive output from Capital City last season. So you got to think, you know, they're going to be trying to do something similar on offense. The offense is kind of back to basics the last 2 weeks, a little bit of expansion here and there, but really when you're having as much success running the ball as Capital City has had the last 2 weeks, it's hard to say we're going to do something else.
Right.
Like, partway through the game.
Yeah.
And I think they're probably expecting to be able to do something similar again tonight.
Yeah. And you wonder sometimes about that, where you go, okay, maybe, I mean, I don't know that week nine is the week that you're going to be trying to, you know, I don't know, develop your skill set, as it were. If you, you know, if you were going to do it, you're probably going to do it before now, and you're probably going to try to maybe do it against better opponents to see if it would work against good people. You weren't going to sneak it in and go, let's try to beat up on somebody doing this, and then that'll prove to us that we can do this well. I don't know if you gain much from that.
I think there's still a chance for it tonight. I know they've wanted to open up a little more the last couple of weeks, and it just hasn't quite happened. Okay. Because you want to get game reps doing that before you head into district.
Sure.
Against opponents that are going to be a little closer to you, or, you know, a little more contested of games.
Sure.
So, yeah, I mean, like you're saying, it makes sense that you'd want to do that against that middle of the schedule, and they did. There were big differences in how the offense functioned those couple of weeks, just, you know, schematically and kind of the plays they were calling. So they have run those different options against good teams.
Right.
And, you know, there's also something to be said. If you're going to run it against lesser opponents at the end of the season, you get reps and you can get the confidence of doing it during a game and having success with
sure.
it in a way that they didn't quite have in those three games.
Yeah. So let's just kind of take a look as we near the time that we're getting into. I mean, it'll be district play pretty soon. And so we're not going to get any bonus points or anything this week because of, you know, you're playing down a class. But it looks like right now Cap City's sitting at the kind of the number three spot in the district standings. And, you know, there was some movement last week, but I don't know how much it really kind of affected anything in the grand scheme of things. But there was some, you know, some movement, I guess.
I think it has a moderate effect.
Okay.
I think last week when we talked about it, Capital City was set up for a rematch with Battle, which would have been the same thing that happened last year, and Battle ended up ending Capital City's, you know, surprise coming out season.
Sure.
With a loss in the first round of districts. I think there's something about the matchups with Battle. They end up being really weird games.
Okay.
And that's risky.
Okay.
Right? Because you never know what's going to happen in a weird game like
sure.
that. Sure. Now Capital City's lined up with Rolla. Depending on what happens with Rolla and Washington this week, they could end up matched up with Washington next week. I think either way, that's probably a better case scenario than a rematch with Battle, just because of kind of the randomness of the last three matchups with Battle. You know, that can cause just weird outcomes
right.
in a way that maybe seeing a team for the first time in a season will line up a little bit more with what
okay.
you're expecting.
Sure. Well, I guess then we'll kind of see how that all shakes out based on the results of how things work out tonight. And the game we're most concerned about on our slate then is Capital City Kirksville. Who gets a win tonight, and how bad do you think it is for you, the winning team?
I definitely think Capital City is going to win. I'm going to say it's the third straight Turbo Clock win.
Okay.
And I'll say Capital City wins 49-7.
All right. That should do it for this week. For Kyle McAravey, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Kyle McAravey on Twitter at Kyle_McAravey, McAravey. Thanks for listening.